Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Can Man Show. I am Chad, the Can Man Canfield. How are you?
I'm just fine, Chad.
Again, not talking to you, I was talking to the audience. No. But joining me again, my best friend in the whole wide world, Kevin Kappas. How are you, Kevin?
Ex-best friend. Oh, ooh. Wasn't talking to you, sorry.
Yeah, I love you, Kevin. I was just messing with you. Yeah. And then back again, Jamie Kelly. How are you, Jamie?
Good. How are you?
I am all right. I'm all right. A little bit on edge because of our next guest.
Yeah.
Great.
My son, Zachary, yeah. the Can Man Jr.
The Can Boy? Yeah.
The Can.
Yes.
The Can New, Boy.
The Can Boy.
I like that. Canfield, nice. How you doing?
Pretty good, I guess.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks for joining us. This week, how was your week, Kevin?
Oh, it was great.
Great. I was talking to you that time.
Yeah, fun. We're gonna start the show off with a riot.
Yeah, that's what we're gonna do. Yeah. So, did you do anything fun this weekend? I haven't talked to you.
Not a whole heck of a lot, other than play a bunch of video games over the weekend.
Yeah, anything good?
Played Brutal Legend for a while.
How would you rate
that yesterday?
It was pretty good. If you like 70s or 80s metal and.
And if you don't, you suck.
Yeah, right. Yeah, so again, we're going to bring up third episode in a row. Winger.
Doc and not Winger.
No, new British heavy metal type stuff, right?
You know, Judas Priest,
Megadeth,
Motorhead.
Motorhead. Of course. Yeah. There's actually a guy
a little
from
bit
Motorhead
of Lemmy.
In it.
Is Lemmy in it?
Lemmy.
Oh, wait.
Yeah.
Oh.
So what's the premise of the game?
I mean,
I got to say, the commercial makes it look like a crappy game that someone slapped together.
No, actually, it's pretty good. The guy who did the game, he's always come out with really good games, just haven't sold very well.
Really?
But
who's that? What else has he done?
Psychonauts.
You said that was a good game.
It was Grim Fandango.
He did Grim Fandango? That was LucasArts' title.
Yeah, but he was the one who made the game.
Wow. Okay.
Nice.
Let's see, and what it's about is there's this roadie that accidentally spills some blood into his enchanted belt buckle.
Okay.
And it transports him to this land of metal.
Man, I really hate when I do that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And just the scenery and the mountains, the statues and everything, it's just like
being
icons.
In an Iron Maiden
it's
video.
Like, it's being in a, like, you know, the album art.
Yeah.
You know, of like Meatloaf and.
Oh, yeah, Bat Outta Hell.
And Iron Maiden and just
yeah,
all
they used to have the Iron Maiden was famous for having that big Eddie guy on all the
album
covers.
Yeah, exactly.
But like that crazy scenery with like volcanoes and ravines and just crazy.
Flames and.
So lots of iconography out of like fantasy and stuff like that. Yeah,
crazy.
A lot
demons
of Frank Frazetta type
stuff like that.
That's
what it's like. And the whole story is just wrapped around this idea that this land was ruled by titans and they left and they left all this stuff behind, rock and roll, there's stuff jutting out of the ground like guitars and
cool.
and amps and
so are the girls in the game, are they like hot scantily clad,
they look like
leather bound
they look
wood dead.
Well, I'm just picturing the 80s rock metal.
Yeah, 80s,
like, 80s,
80s,
like,
80s video
ripped t-shirts.
Like one of your
leather mini skirts.
Yeah.
You basically create this army.
Right.
From all these
fans?
Fans. It was something like fans. They like they have the headbangers.
Okay, yeah.
Which, they're you know, creepy. It's an idea.
I was one. Yeah.
You know, it's an idea from the 70s and 80s, but they take it and kind of twist it where the headbangers in this world are people that would mine away. They would mine for the overlords or whatever.
Right.
And they didn't have tools, so they would actually bang the rocks with their heads.
Oh, nice. Wow.
So nice. These guys would, you know, grow these enormous necks the size of their body and then yeah. have these little stubby heads.
Oh, weird.
That's pretty creepy. And
then they had these girls, was part of your band, and they looked just like somebody from the 70s, you know, big hair, big blonde hair,
yeah.
feathered, blonde, tight jeans, rock and roll t-shirts. They're all wearing rock and
right.
roll t-shirts.
So it's like if you took any of the girls that were in Dazed and Confused and put them in a video game.
Yeah, exactly.
Cool.
So nice. It's neat. And the game is funny. I mean,
okay.
I laugh a lot during, you know, Jack Black is the main character.
Yeah.
And it's not where, you know, when you're going through the game, you might have just a couple phrases that they say
right.
or a couple things get said. There's always a commentary going on.
Oh, wow.
You know, where he's talking about something or he sees something driving by and he makes a comment about
That's
it.
One of the things that turned me on to Tenacious D is just how he... The way he talks and the way he, you know, giggle, you know, does all that,
yeah.
all that stuff. I mean, so how is it dirty like Tenacious D?
Like, oh, it's really funny because right at the beginning,
mm-hmm.
he basically is a roadie where he's taking care of this emo band. You know, this,
and
one of the band members is like climbing on something that he told him not to climb on, and he's like that. That mother, and then the game stops, and then says something to the effect that, you know, from time to time, it might be really funny to actually curse or what have you, and then it gives you a choice to not have cursing and just bleep it,
wow.
or to actually, you know, say.
So they got their own bagak.
Exactly.
Nice.
So, you know, I chose what, of course, I would choose, and he's
the cursing.
Like, mother effer. You know?
Nice.
So, and then there's another part where. This beast comes out and the band is like in front of the beast going, whoa, what's that? And then the beast is about to like breathe fire on him. And then it stops and says, well, from time to time, it might be really cool to show gore. So would you like to see gore in the game? And of course I said, yeah. And then right when you say that, then their heads get blown off by the fire.
Did the beast, was it Dave Grohl?
It should be.
No,
yeah.
It was like
no,
a
no,
heavy
no.
metal monster.
It was just a heavy metal god of some
yeah.
sort that transports
all right.
you.
All right. Well, I mean, I was just thinking, you know, from, you know, the Tenacious D videos.
But yeah. but the funny thing is like, you have essentially what's like spells in the game. And to pull the spells off, you have to almost do this Guitar Hero type thing.
Okay. Yeah.
Where you do different, like the
button
blue,
top.
Red, yellow, green, and then the spell...
Wow.
If you actually do it right, then the spell, you know, goes off.
Wow, so you have magic and...
So then he just stops and does this guitar solo.
Neat.
And you have to do the... So I actually heard you can actually use the guitar from Guitar Hero.
To play the game?
To play the game.
Wow.
Which I don't know if that's the part that you do that, because that would exactly be what you'd expect.
Mm-hmm. Right. So but, how far did you get on there?
Oh, I think I've played it for about 5 hours or so. So
wow.
I've gotten pretty far on it, but it's just funny because one of your first bosses that you have to fight is this glam band leader.
Nice.
Where he has hair that's so big that he flies with it. The hair just flaps and he flies away with his
nice.
Hair.
That's awesome.
So he has his little hat, this little like policeman hat, and he's just dressed up like someone from Poison.
Nice.
And another thing, they have a lot of like people from heavy metal, like
Dio.
The funniest guy is Ozzy.
Wow.
Ozzy Osbourne's in it. He's the guy you buy stuff from.
Who knew?
He's like go crazy, you know. You'll like buy stuff, and he's always saying something different. That's what kills me, because
Sharon.
Just, yeah. I'm waiting for him to say Sharon or something
I
like that.
I need to piss, Sharon.
But
where's the urinal?
He's some sort of metal god, and
yeah,
he can, you know, improve your abilities and so on if you, you know, pay him fire tributes or something, rock tributes or whatever.
Right on. So but, is it a buy or a rent?
Oh, I hate to say it, but I think it's a rent.
Oh.
Because there is no replayability of
really?
The game.
There's no multiplayer
online.
There's a multiplayer. Yeah. Where, but the that part of the game is not the fun part. Oh, you have these parts of the game where it's weird. It's almost like a hack and slash game for most of it, where you just run around beating the hell out of demons.
Right.
And then you get to a certain point where you do these stage battles, where you're battling with your stage against another band on another stage. And it's almost like a strategy game.
Nice.
Because you have to get resources, which are fans, and the fans allow you to get troops, and then with those troops you go out and get more resources and basically beat the other band.
Cool.
By taking most of them over, destroying their stage.
Right.
But they can do the same to you, but
very cool.
It's got a lot of different fun stuff here and there. But I just can't see dropping $60 because I think I could beat the game probably in, I don't know, 8 to 10 hours probably, the way it's going. Yeah. I've been looking at the achievements and, you know, I'm further than I think I should, or I'm a lot further than I think I should be, so.
Wow.
But other than that, I've been playing another game, Fallout 3.
Back to that again?
Yeah, they came out with a new version, Game of the Year edition.
Yeah.
Nice. And it was just cheaper for me to, well, you could buy the new game with everything in it, or you could buy the add-ons separately for about $50, $60.
So you get the Game of the Year and they come with all the add-ons.
Comes with all the add-ons.
And it's cheaper.
So then when I beat the game, then I can turn around and sell it. Whereas the add-ons, if I bought them off Xbox.
Right. You can't sell those.
I can't sell those.
Right. Right.
So.
Cool.
It's cheaper that way.
So now that you're replaying it, is it in different maps then? And
Well, it's got like new quests and new areas. Like one of them is, now keep in mind you're in the DC areas where most of the game happens.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But like one of their sections is Anchorage, Alaska. You do a computer sim in Anchorage, Alaska, fighting one of the wars, the famous wars in the Fallout history.
Oh, wow.
Then there's Pittsburgh.
Nice.
You can go to Pittsburgh and free the slaves, I guess. They have a big slave community out there. Mm. Another one is somewhere in Maryland, Point Lookout. Is there actually a Point Lookout?
Yeah, it's near Baltimore.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Okay. If that place ever gets nuked, oh my God.
It's going to be bad?
It's going to be bad. Because everybody turns into a radiated hillbilly is what they do.
That sounds about right.
Yeah.
It's not that far off what it is now.
So you'll,
really?
Generally.
Wow. Seriously?
Maryland has lots of hillbillies. Astonishing numbers.
I never knew that.
Astonishing numbers of hillbillies.
Well, there's a lot. I mean, it's close to West Virginia.
And there's, like, as soon as you get outside the major cities, there's a lot of rural places still. And, like, it's becoming what they call sub-rural, so suburban and rural setting. But there are still a lot of, because I lived in a county that was, 87, 89% hillbillies.
I talk to people in West Virginia all the time, and you go,
well, there was, you know, I swear, the only thing missing out of the whole thing was a banjo going. Some guy with a crooked teeth and a banjo.
That's what I was just saying. Yeah.
Well, you didn't do it very good.
I suck.
All
right.
But anyway, all the people out there are just misshapen hillbillies, and you know it's kind of funny because you'll encounter some of them and just the stuff they say, like, oh, we got a visitor, come around and they'll try and kick your ass with all sorts of weird weapons, but
crazy.
Then there's you actually go onto a spaceship on it in the main game, you find a crashed UFO.
Yeah.
And there's a little gray, you know, that's just torn up, and you take his gun, and his gun is actually the most powerful weapon in the whole thing.
Wow.
Not a lot of ammo, but then you find out that I guess the aliens were pissed off that happened. So
nice. So yeah. It's a fun game, too. It's worth that one. That one's
game.
Well, I've never played it, so...
Well, so far I'm up to about 80 hours playing it.
Does that include the previous gameplay, right?
Excuse me?
Does that include the previous gameplay when you played?
I played about 70 hours or so.
on top of 80, so...
No.
Oh, okay.
I played about 70 hours, and with what I've gotten to so far, it's went like another... I'm up to 80 hours.
So you've played 2 weeks straight without sleep, essentially.
No, not all in a row.
Right. I mean,
that would be crazy.
Yeah, that's an awful lot of wow.
Yeah, that was it's an awesome game. I mean, but that's why people love that game. It's just lots of stuff to discover.
Cool.
Yeah. You know,
very cool.
I probably have 65 hours into Hitman Blood Money.
Wow. I don't know. I played Batman Arkham Asylum, and I probably had, I don't know, 10, 15 hours in it.
I rarely get beyond like 5 or 10 hours, but Hitman, I love the game so much. I've gone back and played
whacking people
every stage on every level at least twice.
I think there's a new Hitman coming out,
in
too.
In January.
So that's soon. Was the Hitman movie like the Hitman game?
No, the Hitman movie was terrible. Awful. No. But they actually are going to release a sequel because it did well enough. They're going to do a sequel, and that's what the game is going to be pegged to, which sucks.
I played one of the Hitman, and then I saw the movie, and what am I watching?
The physics has gotten better every time. I'd actually pay to buy the first two games that I got again with the new physics. That's how good it is.
Mm. Wow.
So
cool. Cool. Yeah. So how was your week, Jamie?
Oh, not bad. I saw my brother defend his PhD thesis on Monday, which was pretty awesome. He's been there 6 years, so a week ago.
Put you in a room with a knife and a chair.
Yeah, exactly. Now, there wasn't much defending. Surprisingly, little defending. Like, he had to answer questions or whatever, but it's not like they threw stuff at him.
What was his thesis?
His thesis was developing a genetic risk score for chronic disease. Like, finding a way to...
pretty much explains itself.
Yeah, exactly. He's in bioinformatics, which is molecular biology and computer science. So it's pretty cool.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I love intelligence.
Me too.
I just thought, like, he'd walk in the room and don, 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 don.
I wish. I wish.
Then the chicken comes out.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, yeah.
I have to fight the Rancor monster to get your PhD. But he's doing his revisions now, but he was a little bit insufferable when he was Dr. Reagan. You know, everyone, I'm Dr. Reagan. It's like Dr. Jerkass.
Nice.
Does he actually, like, do you call him over and it's like, yeah, doctor, I had this pain, you know? Or do you,
nice.
Genetics, asshole.
I should.
Genetics.
I should.
Unless that pain's genetic. Sorry.
So
yeah,
and then my car crapped the bed on me, which sucked.
Yeah,
check engine light was on for like a week and a half. The radio stopped working. I don't know what that was all about, but I took it in. It was hundreds upon hundreds. Like I said, I tweeted today that it was really strange that my keys were filed under boat payment.
Wow. Yeah, so. I had a pretty good weekend.
Yeah.
The wife and I went without the kids to Des Moines again, second weekend in a row.
Nice.
And we went, and for anniversary, we got tickets to see the touring Broadway production of Wicked.
Yeah.
And it was phenomenal. It kind of, the story centers around Glinda the Good Witch and the Wicked Witch of the West. Her name is Elphaba. What the hell are they doing up there? But anyway, so the Wicked of the Witch of the West, it's kind of how the story starts where the Wicked Witch of the West just died, just got the bucket of water mm-hmm. thrown on her, and everybody's celebrating. And the Glinda the Good Witch says, hey, you know, it's great that you're celebrating all that. And then somebody asks her, well, weren't you guys friends once? And then it kind of flashes back nice. To the childhood and the birth of the Wicked Witch and
nice.
All that stuff. So I don't know. It fills in a lot of story.
Yeah.
And it by the end of the show, it's blended so well with the original Wizard of Oz that it makes you go. Oh, you just kind of look at it like, holy crap! This is awesome. It gave you chills.
It almost seems like canon.
Yeah, I mean, it does. I mean, it shows the origins of the mm-hmm. Cowardly Lion, explains why he can talk, explains the Scarecrow.
Why can he talk?
Well, the animals talked there, but there was... but there's more to it than just... I don't want to give away the show, you know, they explain the Cowardly Lion, they explain the Tin Man, they explain who the Wicked Witch of the East is, it's just very well done, very well put together.
Nice.
The music is excellent. And if you ever get the opportunity to go see Wicked, go see Wicked.
Yeah.
Then my wife left for a cruise for school. She's a nurse.
Yeah.
And she has to get her nursing credits. They call them CEUs. So her mom found this class that happened to be on a cruise ship. And so she's going to Mexico on a boat, left today. So
she's on a boat.
She's on a boat, on a big ship.
Doing flips.
Something like that.
Sweet.
I'm on a boat.
Yeah, so.
Is T-Pain going to be there?
Yeah.
Yeah, whatever.
That'd be awesome.
That would be kind of awesome.
I'm lost, but
it's
right.
Andy Samberg, SNL yeah. Digital Short. They did a song called "I'm on a Boat" with T-Pain. It's really, you should put that in the show notes just because okay. It's funny enough.
All right, yes. I wish I could play it, but
lots of bleeps.
Lots of bleeps. Wonderful. I'm on a boat. All right, but
boats and hose.
Boats and hose. Yeah, and that's hose. A flashback. Boats and hose. So the wife is gone and has left me alone with two little kids and Zach. Who won't? So Zach, I have a question for you while I've got you here.
Yeah.
Your mom left you with your list.
Oh. Okay.
On
yes.
Saturday, and it was a big list, and you were supposed to get that done before you did anything, right?
Yeah, I know.
So I get home Saturday, Sunday yeah. from Des Moines Sunday night, and what wasn't done?
Everything.
And so, what do you think I should do about that?
Put him on a podcast. There you go.
This is good enough punishment,
yeah,
I think.
Whatever.
I'm just kidding.
You still haven't cleaned the bathroom.
Not making it. To be fair, he was when I had to use it earlier.
He was cleaning.
Yeah, he was cleaning.
Yeah, but he should have done it last night.
Yeah, I know.
He should have done it Saturday, but all right. So enough about that.
Yeah.
So I've been watching a lot of shows on like Ghost Hunters.
Mm-hmm.
Ghost Hunters, their season's almost over. Found out they're probably not going to do a live Ghost Hunters on Halloween.
No.
Yeah, because this year they want to go out trick or treating with the kids. So that seriously, that's they're not going to do one.
They want to go trick or treating with the kids.
Yeah, yeah. So they're not going to do a live Ghost Hunters this year. Their kids are getting older. I mean, they've been doing the show for 5 seasons. You know that I can understand that being a father of kids that like
they're not the only two that are of that group.
That's true.
They could take the guy from International, and
that's very true.
Yeah. They could, but so far I have not seen anything on Sci-Fi or Sci-Fi about you know, a live event, you know, with GHI or Ghost Hunters. But they have, as you pointed out a couple weeks ago, a new show, and I thought we talked about it when I heard about it. Ghost Hunters Academy, starting after this season ends in November, where Tango and Steve Gonzalez, two of the guys on the show, take like college age investigators and train them and put them through the rigors of being a ghost hunter. And that looks like it's going to be cool.
They're going to have ghost hunters all year now.
I hope so. I love that show. Been watching that. Ghost Adventures, that I thought was all right. I like it.
How about Ghost Lab? What'd you think of that?
Ghost Lab, it moves a little slow for me.
I don't like those two guys. Those two guys, yeah, when one of the guys said, yeah, we got a ghost, booyah!
Yeah.
What the hell?
I don't know. Ghost Lab, it was all right, but it's not my favorite.
Wasn't it on Discovery?
Yeah, it's on Discovery.
Oh, yeah. I thought I saw it.
And it's on Tuesday nights. So tonight, Monday nights, when we record this show, tonight there's a brand new one on A&E HD called Extreme Ghost Hunting.
Can I get it on A&E non-HD?
Probably. Okay. I don't know. I just caught it. I just happened to catch it. But this Extreme Ghost Hunting, what they do is they go in and like they dig a grave and they put somebody in a box. And what they're trying to do is... you know when what's the word when I poke at you, I agitate you. They're trying to agitate the spirits and promote mm-hmm. spirit activity. So when I gave you a hard time at the beginning of the podcast, it agitated you a little bit,
mm-hmm.
and it made you want to like leave. Well,
yeah.
In that case, when they're doing is they're trying to encourage activity, and made them make them want to come in there and do yeah. stuff. So like they're in an asylum and they throw someone in the asylum wearing a straitjacket and that kind of thing. One of the things I saw in the trailer is that they're trying to simulate what hell would be like. So they're lighting all these fires. I don't know. It looks bizarre. So I'll give a full report next week on that one.
Yeah.
Also, tonight's also the premiere of the new Paranormal State, where that's the kids from Penn State that started a paranormal team. I'd say kids, but they're, you know, in their 20s, yeah. 30s.
Well, I wonder how old the guy who runs it. I don't know if he's in school.
I don't know if he is either, but when he was in school is when he started it.
Yeah.
But he's, you know, he's got a group of people, probably Zach's age or a little bit older, that follow him around. I think they over-dramatize a lot of stuff in that show.
Whenever they bring that guy Chip on.
The psychic.
Oh, God. He is...
They have
he's something else.
See, psychics, we were having this little conversation ahead of time, and I do believe there are some people who have the ability to see things or feel things, okay? But I think that a lot of the stuff that the psychics on TV do is
it's charlatanism. It's old vaudeville tricks.
Vaudeville party tricks.
Yeah.
And you don't know how much he's actually talked to... You know, how much he's talked to the other investigators.
Right.
Right, I mean, or how much stuff that... I mean, if he knows that he's going to a certain town... I mean, you have a couple books with you about haunted Iowa. I mean,
what's to
stop somebody from picking something up and finding all the ghost stories?
All pull it up on the internet.
Or he could just make something up.
Right. Well, I mean, you know, to try and get close, though,
right.
You look around the house and you start thinking, I wonder what their deal is.
Where are the pictures? Where's the black and white pictures of the old lady?
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
It's
You can just see his mind rolling around as he's walking around the house.
It's
It was a kid, and she was by the window.
And when he has those little outbreaks where he like tries to choke someone, that's just awesome.
He goes and tries to choke people?
Oh, he's... Yeah.
I miss that. I don't watch the show enough.
He channels the spirits, and then he's like, I want to kill you, or I want to choke you, and he'll...
Nice.
I think he tried to, like, go after somebody once. And
did he do that to a chicken?
No, he didn't, Chad. Are you trying to instigate me?
No. I was trying to get away in here to throw in... Butters isn't here, so we just have to mention his penis. So
yeah,
there's Butters' penis. There we go.
Yeah,
all right.
Woo! Better you than me.
Yeah. All right. Good. And back to the show.
That was the show.
And so the Paranormal State, though, I don't care for it as much as I like the
Ghost
Hunters.
It's 30 minutes. It's quick. It's okay.
They had some compelling evidence on the show I watched this afternoon where. They went to this house that was in Gettysburg, used to be a field hospital.
Oh, yeah,
and,
saw that one.
Yeah, the door moved, and there was this guy was in the bathroom with his camera, and there was some hand soap on one side of the sink, and he started panning around the room. He came back to the sink, and he didn't catch it when he was in the room, but the soap moved from one side of the sink to the other side of the sink.
I mean, they do catch... I mean, the stuff that they catch with their recorders and video cameras, some of that's pretty good.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's interesting. One thing about Ghost Adventures. It's Zach and two guys. Anyway, what I like about what they do is they don't wait until the end of the show or the end of the investigation to show you what evidence that they had. As you're watching the show and they're talking and they say, right when I did this, I got this EVP, and they play the EVP. I like when they do that. When they do stuff on Paranormal State, and Ghost Hunters did this in the first season. I think it was just the editors, is that they put all this scary music over what's going on. And it's not scary stuff. I mean, it's...
Sans context, yeah.
Well, and also they have some sound effects.
Yeah.
Which I don't like, because some of those sound effects are getting kind of close to, you know, actual sounds that they might be actually hearing or trying to pick up.
Right. That's one of the things that really upset me about doing the Ghost Hunters live stuff. Is they would play these sound effects, and you're trying to hear if they catch anything or something makes a noise.
How many people are getting like a false positive?
And
pushing that button, going, "Hey, I heard something." You know,
you get those scary noises, and it's like whatever.
Sometimes they have those knocks, like or something like that.
Yeah, but you hear them in the music. Was that the music, or was that really a knock?
Right.
I don't know. That's kind of crazy. Zachary, you went this weekend, and you said that you were afraid to go to bed.
Yeah.
After you saw a movie. What movie was that?
Paranormal Activity, which I believe is probably the most creepiest movie I've ever seen, and I've never been more scared in my life. I'm not just saying that.
Okay, so
this movie,
it looked
reminds like me of Blair Witch Project.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah, and then you get into there, and it's like, okay, this is. I mean, the beginning is like quite funny.
Yeah,
but and then it gets like right into the middle, and like right like for the first night or whatever, and then there's like already some stuff going on, like not bad, not all that great, and it's just like a little stuff, and then,
like ghost stuff activity.
Yeah, just like
stuff little, moving around.
Yeah,
isn't it like a couple's trying to catch paranormal activity in their house or something?
So yeah, they set up the camera.
There's like
when
a
they go
huge
to bed.
Twist in it though. I can't really tell though.
Okay, yeah, don't give anything away, but it's scary,
very. Because I mean, like when we were in there, it was like packed, but yet it felt like no one was in there. It was like really like. There was like absolutely no music whatsoever in that movie.
Yeah, that's Ebert said that he loved that movie because of that, the pacing and the fact that it's absolutely silent. And some like you look at on screen and it's something that most people would ignore, but just something little happens and you're drawn to it because it's so quiet and it's so, you know, so still. It sort of zones out from the
Wow.
It was just funny to listen to people freak out.
Is this the one that you were telling me about last week where the like Stephen King or somebody Steven Spielberg had seen it. Someone was talking about it, that seen it and said, "You know what, you need to fix this and this and you have a perfect movie." And they went back and fixed it and it cost him like $20,000 to put the movie
11
together.
Grand.
11
well,
grand.
11
well,
grand.
They, the movie I was listening to NPR and they said the movie cost them $30,000.
Wow.
And it's made $30 million so far.
Yeah. That's what Clerks cost. Like
$30,000?
15 years ago.
Wow.
So I mean like that just that's yeah.
Well Blair Witch
cost like 26
$10,000 or something like that. Yeah. So that's cool, man. So
except Blair Witch wasn't that scary.
It was the hype.
Yet.
You know what? I saw Blair Witch. I didn't see it in the theater. I saw
remember the hype?
I remember
the comic. The comic show.
Oh yeah,
Comic Con we went to.
And then the
TV hyping it.
On Sci-Fi Channel. They had special stories of the backstory behind the people going to Blair Witch.
You know, I really dug that movie. Like I really enjoyed it. You know, especially the outside parts in the woods when everyone's all, you know, there's all this tension between them. But the end.
What the hell?
It's not even scary.
There's somebody that goes and stands next to a wall.
Yeah,
it's like The Sopranos ending.
Did you see Blair Witch 2?
No,
I've never seen that. I've always wondered.
Yeah, I don't even want to risk it.
No.
Yeah.
So
no.
Yeah, what's funny is I went to Blair Witch in one of the new theaters in the Quad Cities.
Yeah.
When it first opened, had one of the biggest screens I'd ever seen, and then you had the Blair Witch Project showing on. Just a little bit of
right, it,
yeah,
because it wasn't shot in like 4K like they shoot other films.
It wasn't shot in widescreen. Yeah. It was shot so like
I was kind of disappointed. Yeah. I wasn't getting my real estate all filled up on this.
Yeah, those bastards.
Yeah. Speaking of scary,
yeah,
we did two more haunted house reviews this weekend.
Before we do the haunted house reviews, I do want to mention that Frightmare Forest is our sponsor this week.
Oh, nice.
We want to make sure to go out and check out the Frightmare Forest.
Absolutely.
This last couple weekends at the forest. After this weekend, they will be, or not this weekend, after
next
Halloween
weekend
they will be done. And then they will be at downtown Cedar Rapids. So, if you want to experience the Frightmare Forest at the Frightmare Forest, they're open Friday, Saturday, and Sunday this week. I believe they open at 7:30. And are open till like 11 or 12. I lost my
midnight.
Little cheat sheet.
It's till midnight.
Till midnight. So on Friday and Saturday night, and I think they're open till 10 o'clock on Sunday. For more information to find out for sure what the hours are, go to www.frightmareforest.com. Also right now, going to play the spot for Death Trap. Because I believe that opens this weekend, too. So make sure you go and check out the play that Tony from Vinton directed. Tony from Vinton.
Tony.
So enjoy.
Act 1 of Benton County presents Death Trap by Ira Levin. Death Trap is a murder thriller with multiple plot twists. Featuring the talents of Jim Hilliard, Susie Westland, Jeff Seitz, Allison Watkins, and Alan Nebola. Trap tells the horrifying tale of a down-on-his-luck playwright who receives a fantastic manuscript from a former student of his. So good, in fact, that he plots murder of the young man to claim credit for the play himself. Will his ailing wife survive the ordeal of watching her beloved husband commit murder? Will the psychic next door undo his careful plans? Death Trap runs October 23 through November 1 at 7 o'clock Friday and Saturday and 2 o'clock p.m. on Sundays at the Vinton Palace Theater. For more information and reservations, call 319-472-9957 or go to act1.org for online reservations. That's ACT1.org.
And we're back, and yes, it's the 23rd 7:30 to 11:30, 24th 7:30 to 11:30, and the 25th 7:30 to 9 p.m. frightmareforest.com.
How much would it cost me to go out there?
$13
for both haunts.
And it's, I recommend doing both haunts so you can do the claustrophobia thing. That is awesome.
Claustrophobia.
Yeah.
I didn't talk about that last week. But
no, that's okay. It's their new effect. And you only get that in the second haunt. So
yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So make sure that you do that. Also, before I forget, with the Frightmare Forest on November 1st, if you would like to help, I know they need help moving stuff. They're moving everything that's out there to their new location and could really use the help. If you are interested in helping, go to the frightmareforest.com and shoot Ian an email. I believe it's Ian@frightmareforest.com. Let him know you'd like to help because he could really use it. So there you go. And one other thing I need to plug, the weekend after Halloween is Jenny Rammelsberg, who will probably be here next week, but she'll talk about it. 24 hours in a play.
Nice.
Make sure you get your tickets. I will put information about 24 hours in a play on the website, canmanshow.com. I will be directing one of the plays.
Oh, nice.
So if you would like to come and see me direct, I might even act, depending on how many actors show up. If you're interested in participating, I know they've got all the actors and the writers spot, or the, not actors, but directors and writer spots filled. But if you'd like to act in the show, please send Jenny a line, drop her a line on Facebook, or shoot me an email, thecanmanshow@gmail.com, and I will get you information on how to do that. So, Jamie, you went to a couple new
We went to two new attractions. Ones. Yeah, we went to two new ones. The Marengo Haunted Barn and then Bloomsbury Farm up in Atkins. I'll do Bloomsbury first. Bloomsbury's huge, and it's three parts. It's $15, so it's the most expensive one around here.
Right, Bloomsbury is a great place to get pumpkins.
It
too.
Is. It's a really cool place. There's a maze which is scary and a little bit creepy, and they do a nice job keeping you disoriented. And they have scary clowns and scary circus music.
So during the day, though, you can walk through the corn maze and get lost. And,
yep.
But at night, when they do it, they actually have actors in the maze.
Right. And it's actually not even really a maze.
Wow.
It's just like a walk more than anything else because you can't make a wrong turn.
Okay.
Which is for the best.
Is there any displays out there? Or is it like, how you walk along and then there's a display?
Yeah, they do a little bit of that. They do actually a fair bit of that. And like a lot of them actually have people in them too.
Okay.
So there's a haunted barn, which is pretty crummy actually. I'll be honest. I mean,
I think we went to that.
Yeah, we did.
Bloomsbury, their production values are probably nearly as high as Frightmare Forest, which has, so it's really, they go all out. But the Haunted Barn, there was like one scare in the whole thing. Mm. The corn maze is ridiculous because you have to wait to get in the corn maze, and they make you wait a while. So you're building anticipation, and then you go out there. And it's not as dark as it is everywhere else. But, you still can't see, and people jump out of the corn, and some people, crawl along the ground, which is really weird and kind of scary.
Yeah. We used to have people that did that, and then they got kicked in the face, and then we quit doing that.
Yeah, well, and that's just that they're like, you can't touch the actors, and, and there's, there's some creepy ones, too. Like, there's one, I don't want to spoil as much when I say, there's one girl who's, weeping at, an open grave.
Yeah.
That's pretty strange and off-putting, and
Yeah, it's generally a really good one. It's expensive. I'd say the maze itself is worth it just because it takes, you know, 45 minutes to walk through
the
maze.
So how much was Bloomsbury?
15 for all three attractions. So, but if you get there after like 7:30, be prepared to wait for a long time.
Wow.
Like way longer than anywhere else.
Really? They don't manage their queue very well?
They do. It's just, you know, you only put in four or five people at a time into the first maze, and then you go right into the...
The barn?
The barn.
Yeah.
But then they do like groups of seven through
the
corn. What's
the third attraction there?
That's the corn maze.
Oh, okay, the corn maze. Okay, so there's the barn, the corn maze, and then...
And then the circus maze, I'll call it.
Oh, okay.
So, and it's creepy, and it has, like, scary clowns and creepy circus music, like the, you know, detuned.
Nice.
It's... And, you know, everyone thinks clowns are scary. Clowns are scary.
Yeah, clowns are scary.
You know, so it's...
Clowns with chainsaws, even scarier.
Yeah, they don't do clowns with chainsaws in this one, surprisingly. They do, like, just creepy...
They should juggle chainsaws
with
chains on them.
They should. Speaking of chainsaws, Marengo Haunted Barn. I will give this... I am never scared in haunted houses. I'm startled plenty.
Right.
You know, like, you can... Like, that's... Nightmare Manor startled me more than Frightmare Forest did, but that's because it's so dark in there and so narrow.
Right.
I was actually terrified at points in the Marengo Haunted Barn. It's like 25 rednecks, and I mean that, like, very affectionately. I'm sure they describe themselves that same way, who just... get off on scaring you.
That's when we started the Frightmare Forest. That's
why we did it. Well, and that's, you know, so they have this old barn, and they built rooms, like a little passageway through it, and it's so narrow in places that it could never be in Cedar Rapids because it wouldn't pass code.
Right.
Like, it would be a it's a fire hazard. It's a death trap.
Literally.
Wow.
Like, there are places where I had to turn sideways to get through.
Yeah, they had, in the North Liberty, when, I don't know, you said they're not doing it this year, North Liberty Haunted Barn, you had to do that in some places.
Which was really surprising. I've never been someplace where it was that constricted. You know, and there are places where you have to go down, where you have to duck underneath. There are places where the ground's uneven.
Mm-hmm.
There's only one place where there's two doors, and if you go back, the way you came, and you get scared again because you're not expecting it.
Wow.
I'll give this one away. There's a guy named Fluffy, and he's chained to the wall. But he's not, like, chained tight to the wall. So there's a strobe light, and he's, like, coming at you, and chains are making all kind of noise, and he's really, really into being Fluffy. And he, like, wants to eat your brains. It's really...
disturbing.
You know, and people actually... they actually have one guy or a couple guys follow you through this. So, you know, you put your cell phone on to see if you can, like, sort of see where you're going, which I've done in all four... I did in all four of them.
Chicken.
And I got yelled at in every single one of them. And he's like, no light. And he, like, comes up and, you know, sort of, like, taps you on. And it's the only one that anyone actually touched you. Because the other one's, like, you know, there. But, like, they'll, like, you know, tap you on the shoulder. Or, like, you know, it's...
I just never wanted to get sued.
Yeah, well, and I can't... I mean, that's the thing is they're operating under very... And at the end, they actually chase you.
Oh, wow.
They actually chase you out of the place.
That's awesome.
It would never fly anywhere other than, like, rural Marengo, but holy crap, terrified.
Awesome. So, Marengo is a place to go.
Yeah, it's $6. It's, you know, it's real short. It's like 20 minutes. There's very rarely
a line. 20 minutes in a barn.
Yeah, 15.
Maybe. Wow, yeah. Awesome.
So, I mean, they make, they and Nightmare Manor both make really good use of their space inside. Like, they
very
could have
cool.
really high, you know, like, really wide places, and they don't. They just do.
Tight.
You know, tight turns and...
Very cool.
There's less creepy. It's more like outright, you know, startling, terrifying stuff. But
cool. So Marengo so far has been your winner
as far as
you being scared.
Yeah, as far as me being scared. The walking through the corn outside in Bloomsbury, that is pretty creepy.
Really?
It's pretty creepy.
Good.
And I'd say Frightmare did the same thing. But Frightmare always had... like, almost always had some kind of roof over top. Not every single place, but there's a lot of places with roofs. And I think it's weirder when you can see the sky. So you have light everywhere. It's not the darkness, it's that you don't know what's coming.
Right.
And they have, like, obstacles you have to navigate around.
Because with corn, you can sit, like, two or three rows back from someone, and they can't even see you.
Right, they can't see you. If you sit there for a second, they can't hear you. And I think, you know, it seemed like they had more people than Frightmare did, but I don't think they did when I thought about it, because the corn... you know, it twists around so much.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that they just have the same people running.
Frightmare, too, is the way we designed it at Frightmare is those every hallway can be run by one person.
Right.
So you get the one side of the hallway and they can get you.
Yeah.
They can get you again at the end of the hallway, they can get you again all the way through. So they work a whole area.
Yeah.
So that's, it's just, you make really good use of your hallway sections, yeah, and you get one actor that'll work the whole thing, or yeah, two. Yeah. So it just depends on how busy you are.
And I gotta say, Frightmare, they did the best job by far of one, staying in character. They're act, and they're theater people for the most part, it seems like.
Well,
I,
yeah, well, there are some theater, yeah, people there, but really, they, for the most part, they're, some of them may never have been on stage before.
Really? They do a very good job staying in character, and being creepy.
Yeah.
Like, the other places, there's, you know, even in Bloomsbury, there was a little bit of creepy, but it was mostly, you know, mm-hmm, startle you. Frightmare only startled me, like, twice, but there were, the claustrophobic thing I did not like. And, like, three of the four places we've had did something like that claustrophobic thing.
Yeah. You didn't like it? Like, did it scare you, or you just didn't care for it?
It feels weird.
Yeah.
It's a very unusual sensation. It's not something I was used to at all. Which I guess is the point.
It's
very, it's very vaginal. It feels, yeah, like you're being, well, that's, given,
that's
birth
kind of
to.
What I, that's what I felt like the first time, yeah, I went through it. I'm like,
I expected to be wet and sticky when I came out the other side, crying for my mommy.
That's awesome. Well, I didn't really explain what it is, but it's a very, very tight space.
Should we explain what it is, or will?
Oh no, I don't want to give it away. Okay. But it's you will, if you're not claustrophobic, you will feel claustrophobic. In,
yeah, it's a very strange sensation. You know, you sort of just pitch forward, and it doesn't matter if your eyes are closed or not, and the way they set it up is very impressive at that place at Frightmare.
Like, yeah,
and at Bloomsbury also. They actually do it twice at Bloomsbury when I think about it.
Yeah.
And the second one at Bloomsbury is really weird.
Cool.
So
awesome. Well, the whole haunted attraction thing, it just makes you want to go out and do it.
Yeah.
I miss it.
I was actually thinking about maybe seeing if people wanted to go to Frightmare. I'd probably go back to Frightmare. I'd like to go back to Bloomsbury, but it's just too expensive and the lines are, yeah, too long.
Well, I mean, if you would like to volunteer at Frightmare one night just to scare people, it's well worth the evening, or at least for a couple hours.
I might do that.
Just to,
I'll talk to Ian.
Well, you talk to me.
I'll talk to you.
Yeah, and I'll talk to Ian.
All right.
And go out and spend a couple hours and just kind of get. Yeah. It's very, what's the word? When you make
cathartic.
Someone pay their pants. Well, cathartic.
Satisfying?
Satisfying, yes. Yeah, when someone wets themselves.
Feels like it'd be very satisfying.
Just to hear the screams, you know, it was very cool.
Have people piss their pants.
Yeah.
Crap their pants.
Chainsaws.
So yeah.
They didn't do chainsaws this year.
Not this year. The chainsaws, they feel are cliche. Everybody did them.
Sort of is.
And so.
But that was actually one of the scary
not
parts
to the
of Marengo.
Person running around with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Marengo had way more chainsaws than anyone I've ever seen.
Really?
Yeah. And Nightmare Manor used a fake chainsaw, like a legitimately, like not a real chainsaw, but like made noise like a chainsaw.
Wow.
But that guy still scared the crap out of me when he came out of nowhere, because he came
out of nowhere.
Well, it's painted like a wall, right, and it's a tight curtain, so you don't know he's there. So it looks like a wall, and then all of a sudden he's like, rah, chainsaw guy.
Nice.
And then you realize that's not even a real chainsaw.
Was it a real dude, though?
It was a real dude.
All right.
Yeah.
Awesome. Awesome. So what else is going on, guys? Anything else?
Oh, wow.
You guys, how about this Hawkeyes?
I need to plug, sorry. Two things. One, the Haunted House reviews, all four of them are up at hooplanow.com.
Hooplanow.com, there's a link.
And they'll be also in this edition of Hoopla on Thursday.
Cool.
So, you know, and the thing is, like, the ratings sort of ended up falling between 3.5 and 4 skulls in Crossbones.
Right.
And they were all there, like all four of them. I'd say that you'd have a hard time picking a bad one.
Sure.
Looking back on them, I would probably say that Nightmare Manor is inexpensive. I don't know that I would go through it again. Like,
right.
it was frightening, but I don't know if you
would
do it again.
Well, Nightmare Manor, the thing that always bugged me about the Nightmare Manor, I love the people that run it. The Smabies, mm-hmm, are great people. The one thing that I've always thought that they've done, not necessarily wrong, but they have so much stuff.
Yeah.
So much stuff, and it's all packed in there. And if they took all of it out, okay, and just picked one theme, like the lab stuff. There's like mummies of all different sizes thrown in, just hodgepodged in there. If they just would pick one theme and trim things down, they have more stuff in that building. Yeah. They could change it for every year for 5 years.
But I hear
years.
It's the same every year. Or well, pretty close
pretty
to the
much,
same.
Pretty much. If they changed the electric chair thing.
Yeah, and the guy like breaking out of the chair.
Yeah, every year.
It's.
But you know the thing is if they took and trimmed down half of the props and went with a different theme, they have enough stuff. They could do one theme through the whole thing, tell a story, make it an entertainment value, you know.
That was actually, I had that issue with all of them except Frightmare.
That when I started Frightmare Forest, I didn't want to have Freddy Krueger. I did not want to have Jason. I did not want to have, you know, those things. I wanted my own original thing.
That was the one thing that Frightmare Forest did that no one else did, which was stay with one theme and one scary theme the whole way. You know, because Nightmare Manor has mummies and it has aliens and it has like a
predator,
a boar monster. Yeah, and it has a predator and it has a jail and it has an
evil pumpkin head,
evil scientist. And sort of the same thing happened at Marengo, but less so. Like, Marengo seemed like you were in the middle of Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
There's a couple haunts that you should really check out. You should go up to Waterloo and check out Heart of Darkness.
We were kicking that around, but it was just too far for us to get to for the coverage for Hoopla. But yeah, that we should go.
It's just to see it. It's phenomenal. I understand that they have like a house you walk into that's they built just for. Nice. The thing. At least that's what I've heard in the past. Now, one thing I do need to dispel, there's been this rumor that goes around every year, ever since I was a teenager, that there's this haunted house called 13 Floors. 13 Floors does not exist, okay? It's not. There's no haunted house in Iowa that you can go in, and if you make it to the 13th floor, you don't get a t-shirt because the place does not exist, okay? You don't... It's not real.
I heard the same story about in Maryland and in Pennsylvania.
I swear I heard that when I was in the small town of Clarence, 30 miles away.
My cousin Colin sent me an email on Facebook. He's like, I just heard about this place. Can you tell me where it is? And I said, no, because it doesn't exist.
Yeah, we heard this. I heard the same thing, and it was like, oh, everyone has a friend whose cousin worked there.
Yeah.
My cousin worked there.
Yeah.
No, they didn't.
And it was like, yeah, oh, you know, like the actors can touch you, they can take you out, and you have to avoid them. Is that the idea?
You know, it's the whole thing is 13 floors, and if you make it to the top, survive the top, you get a t-shirt. It's that scary.
I guess I don't.
It's not real. It doesn't exist. If it did, I would own it myself.
The thing is, unless they're taking off a toe for every floor, I'm going to make it to the top floor. And almost everyone's going to make it to the top floor.
So, unless you work the cost of the t-shirt into the cost of the admission.
Which they almost definitely would.
Yeah.
I would do that.
Yeah, there we go. Business. Patent pending.
Let's hear it. Patent pending.
Is there a building 13 floors high that you could actually get in Cedar Rapids?
There's only two 13 floors.
I know. Really. There's a lot of floors, a lot of buildings that are taller, but they don't have a 13th floor.
Yeah.
Wussies.
One other thing I wanted to pimp. Shortly is Hoopla is holding a mayoral debate on Tuesday, which is tomorrow, at Dublin City Pub from 5:45 to 6:45.
A
mayoral debate.
Oh, mayoral debate.
Cedar Rapids mayor debate. And I'm going to be live blogging on hooplanow.com.
Hopefully this will be up by then.
I hope so. That's my hope.
So what time is this?
It's 5:45 to 6:45 tomorrow on Tuesday. And if you happen to miss it, if the show isn't up for whatever reason, you can always replay the debate, and you can see what we had to say about it.
Cool.
It's at Dublin City Pub.
Which is right across from where the public library used to be.
It's the old Muddy Waters building.
Yeah, the Muddy Waters building. The run place that where Todd and I was going to buy that building.
The pub went in there?
Uh-huh. Yeah, Dublin City actually moved from where they were
This friend of mine, Chad Vick, I think he works there, and he says that it's haunted. He says they hear people on the upper floor. And there's nobody there, or they'll hear strange noises coming from the basement and stuff. I don't know. He sent me that on Facebook, but so place is haunted. So check it out. Used to be Charlie's on the River.
Yeah. So I wish we had the money to do some of those like night vision cameras, so we could do like you know, if things really are haunted around here, we could do our own little ghost investigation thing.
I have a night vision camera. Oh, I have a night vision scope. It's not a camera.
Yeah. See, that's a
fail.
Yeah, it's a fail.
Another country heard from, and hilariously.
Yes, thank you, son. Where the Wild Things Are. Did any of you guys go see that yet?
I'm going to.
I haven't seen it yet.
I saw snippets of it, though.
Okay, the CNN writer says that Spike Jones got it right.
I've heard that.
He worked with the Maurice Sendak, the guy who wrote the book. Yeah. Now, I don't know if you guys remember this book from when you were a kid.
Oh, yeah.
One of the most popular children's books ever made, Where the Wild Things Are. The book, not a whole lot of words in the book itself. It's mostly told with stories. It's the story of little boy Max, who was a little bit rambunctious, got into trouble, and was sent to bed without dinner. And his bedroom turned into the woods, and then he took a boat for a year to where the wild things are, and then he became their king, and then he smelled food when he got lonely and rode the bus back home. And, so how they can get that, you know, this 30-page, maybe, book into a, what is it, a two-hour movie or something, is beyond me, but I'm looking forward to seeing it.
It's not a spoiler because I've seen it a bunch of places. Maybe it is. I won't say it.
Okay.
My only issue is, I loved Dave Eggers when I was like 21, 22, 23 years old. Heartbreaking Work, Staggering Genius.
Okay.
Now I realize he is a pretentious hack.
Okay.
Like Eggers. And he wrote this. He and Spike Jones collaborated on the screenplay. I really like Spike Jones, but I'm just worried. I've heard lots of good things about it, but I'm worried it's going to be like almost precious, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
You know? I've heard it's legitimately scary in parts and like upsetting toward children in like a good way.
Well, I understand that because I watched the HBO first look.
Yeah.
And they didn't really give a whole lot away, but they talked about how it's about your emotions. That's where they went with the character, the monsters, their physical manifestations of a child's emotions and them dealing with them. And you know, kind of growing up at the same time a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So it just...
I do want to see it. I'm not sure if we're going to make it to the theater or not. So
Yeah. Now, Kevin, you brought these books with you, the Haunted Iowa books. Did you find some stuff that we didn't already talk about? Like, I know you mentioned something about Carlos O'Kelly's and Marion.
Yeah, I found a couple things that look kind of interesting. Let me just flip there. If you're actually interested in picking this up, there's a book called The Iowa Road Guide to Haunted Locations. And I have to say, of the two books that I got from the library, this is probably the best one because it breaks everything down by city and area.
Oh, wow.
In Iowa. So you can kind of go to the section, and then in the section you can kind of pick the cities that you're looking for.
Cool.
And they had a section on Cedar Rapids and Marion.
Because technically Carlos O'Kelly's is in Marion there.
Yeah.
But it's like right on the border.
Yeah, well, I get a kick out of, they got pictures of the place and, you know, they have a picture of the sign.
Nice.
But, wow.
It's like, oh, Carlos O'Kelly's.
Now, I don't know a whole lot about the haunting, but I know that the Kisma from the Roller Girls, speaking of which, they have a bout next weekend to Friday or Saturday night, but she was a bartender there a while back and she had mentioned something about some ghost in the basement or something. What's it say?
Okay, well, here we go. Well, it says that poltergeist activity is often seen by the staff of the restaurant. Many restaurant appliances seem to work with a mind of their own. They went in to the history of the place, and you lived here, so maybe you can agree with us or not. It's believed that the site once housed a carnival.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
It goes 1970s through the 80s. The restaurant was called Applegate Landing. Applegate's Landing?
I can ask my mom. She would know.
Yeah.
Or my dad.
And then it said in the 1980s is when the Carlos O'Kelly's restaurant actually opened.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah.
So, a carnival. Hmm.
Yeah. Well,
carnival and Cedar Rapids.
Well, I know back in the day they would have, I thought it was at Lyndale. Maybe they did have carnivals there because
it's firmly on the outskirts of town, though. Because it'd be like where a carnival was. Because
I remember one time when I was little going to one of those and I crapped my pants there. So, you know, I was like three years old.
Well, they got they got some employee stories here. Let's see. Several employees have been working during the evening when they see plates fly off the shelves for no apparent reason.
Nice. They talk about which location in the building. Because you've been in that Carlos O'Kelly's. The way it's laid out,
I've actually
it's
never
a maze.
Been to that one.
Yeah.
Well, you go in, and the right-hand side, you don't realize this, but there's a whole basement that's got seating in it, too.
I could see that being super creepy at night.
Oh,
with
yeah.
With no one in there. Because, you know, it's almost like people are hiding everywhere.
Yeah. The left-hand side of the place, as you go into the restaurant, is got it's just mazed out the way it's the way you get seated, and all of the booths are built into like the walls are like little cubbies.
Yeah,
it's crazy. I mean, there's no. I mean, you have to check.
I've
it
only
out.
Been to the west side one. I've never been to that one.
They got a couple other interesting stories. It also appears that restaurant appliances also exhibit weird behavior. Many employees report that blenders normally used for making margaritas, normally.
Well, what else would they use it for?
Good God.
They put a hand in there, I guess.
Right. Well, they could put people in there?
Yeah.
People!
How do you get them out? How do you get a bunch?
Strawberry margaritas are people!
Okay. Yeah, I'm going
to... Let's see. So, I guess the blenders turn off and on by their own.
Cool.
Faulty switch.
Let's That's see. A crappy electrical system in an old building.
Yeah,
Customers and employees have reported seeing restaurant lights flickering and turn on and off without the aid of human intervention. I don't know. Maybe it's a
crappy electrical system in an old building.
Crappy wiring.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to discount the stuff like the plates flying and stuff like that. But like, whenever it's a machine not working, I tend to blame.
Yeah,
the machine.
I don't know when I've gone in there. It's always full of people. I mean, it's a very very friendly place, but there are parts of it where you kind of get creeped out.
Yeah. I mean, if you want to see haunting from lights failing to work, you should come to my apartment because it's built in the 1920s. And when we have like both computers and the heater and the kitchen lights on, sometimes the fuse blows.
Nice.
I don't think it's haunted. I just think it's a crappy electrical system.
Right.
Exactly. Someone just turned on the blender. See, the blender's turned on.
Right,
that's
exactly.
Why.
And then the lights went out.
Then they got one last story. It looks like the biggest one. Looks kind of interesting. Let's see. A restaurant employee told us of a strange event that happened to her while she was closing up one evening. Woman was alone in the restaurant. She had just finished cleaning her desk when she left the office to check on the phone that kept going on and off. She thought that the phone problem was weird since it never malfunctioned in the past, but passed it off as her nerves just kicking in. When the woman returned to her office, she was baffled when she discovered a cup of coffee had been mysteriously placed on her desk. Oh my God.
They bring in her coffee?
The ghosts are bringing her coffee.
Well, that's
Isn't that awesome?
She's never going to sleep tonight.
What? There's like no what? There's no story of like the waitress that got killed in there and stuffed into a margarita blender.
I haven't
or something?
Heard anything. No.
Huh. Well,
Is there anything in Des Moines about the Civic Center?
Well, I got one. I got one other.
Okay, go ahead.
One last one. For Cedar Rapids, this area anyway.
Yeah.
Get to it. Oh come on. Oh, you seen that?
What's that? Is it the public
Cedar
library?
It's the old library.
Oh, it's the old library. That's
the old library.
Yeah, it's the art museum now.
No, what? It's the most recent library.
No, is that? Let me see. Because I know the old library, which is now the Cedar Rapids Art Museum. Can I see the picture real quick?
Yeah.
That's actually the.
Is it the new one?
Yeah.
Okay, because the one in the old library, the old public library, that is supposed to be like insanely crazy haunt. I mean, it's the old part of the building.
Yeah.
So if you're looking at it from Green Square Park, the left-hand side is the new art part. The old public library is on the right-hand
side.
Right,
where all the offices and the...
Yeah, on the in the basement there is supposed to be some real big paranormal activity. So what's happening at the public library?
Okay, well, says here that the ghost of a library patron continues to visit the library. Library items often fly off the shelf for no apparent reason.
The flood.
Too soon. But they do talk about. I guess there's another book called Ghosts of Linn County, which I might have to see if I can't dig that up. It takes a quote from the book. Ghosts of Linn County reports that Helen Stein was an elderly lady who visited the library on a regular basis. The woman came to the library to read a daily newspaper and talked with the library staff. One morning, Helen came into the library wearing a much nicer dress than the staff was accustomed to seeing her in. Librarian also noticed that she was without her usual stiff walk. Later that day, a man informed the library staff of the sad death of Helen. Immediately, the librarians refused to believe him, telling him that they had just seen her at the library and could even describe her dress. Librarians were baffled when they found out that Helen did die in a fire.
Holy crap.
And she was buried in the same dress they saw her wear into the library many hours after her death. We spoke with a librarian who informed us that this event took place many years ago, and she had not had a paranormal experience other than this.
Wow.
Also, one librarian reported that several staff members have had odd things happen to them, including hearing strange noises, having items misplaced. See, the whole items misplaced, I mean,
yeah.
Come on, everybody does that. Some of the staff attribute these events to non-paranormal issues.
Well,
durr.
Well, okay. Yeah, the one thing about the books, though, some of the stories of ghosts and things, they'll attach themselves to things that they liked or loved. That's what I was getting at last week about Bruce Moore. The lady loved binding books. That was her hobby. So it would make sense that she would be in the library where the books were that she bound, that she spent her hours of time in.
Right.
And, you know, so that would be why I would think that if the ghost of Mrs. Hall were going to be anywhere in the house, it would be there in the library.
Exactly.
So that's where I was going with that before.
But
Butters, yeah. And his penis.
Got into it.
Yeah, got into it. Now, when I was in the Civic Center, which, by the way, is one of the most awesome theaters I've ever seen in my entire life. Have you ever been in that place?
Never been there. No. I've been
Holy
by it,
cow.
But never been in there.
It's like got five times the seating of like the Paramount. It's like a big bowl.
If you're talking Des Moines, I do have one ghost I thought was kind of funny.
Is it in here?
Yeah, I think it's the big bookmark there.
The big bookmark.
Should be something about a pig.
That's not about the pig. That's about the Buddy Holly.
This one was about the Iowa State Fair.
Okay.
So
is it about a butter pig? Butter sculpture?
No.
Did the pig come alive?
Butters. Butter pig. Boo's a good butter pig. Oh, come on.
So, but what I was going to say is when we were at the Civic Center, you figure a place like that's got a big air conditioner or whatever.
Yeah.
We were sitting there during the show, and I felt like a blast of air just come up, and I had hairspray, like 1980s style hairspray. My head was bulletproof.
Right.
Okay. On Saturday, a blast of air.
Used hairspray.
Yeah, I used hairspray. Pump hairspray.
I don't use hairspray. That makes
like,
it
better.
Two times.
But anyway, so I used hairspray in my hair to, you know, to keep it out of my face.
Use
and I look
product.
Nice. I look nice. I look Get nice on Saturday. I was all dressed up. Anyway, so I was sitting in the theater. The theater's full of people, and I was watching the show. And I felt a blast of air come up, and it hit me so hard that my hair flipped up.
Right.
You know, it and I'm like, oh, it must be just the air kicking in, because this is a big building, you know. And after the show, you know, during the show, after that happened, I was kind of looking around to see where the vents were.
Right.
And I couldn't find them for the life of me. And I asked my wife if she felt the air kick in. And she's like, no. And I'm like, okay, well, it's a room full of thousands of people. You know, I wasn't the only it was just weird. It just made me wonder if there was a ghost in that building.
Maybe.
But the Wicked was awesome. Wicked. Wicked was Wicked. I know I mentioned that already before, but you should go see it.
Yeah.
So.
Maybe the pig's in this one.
Uh-oh. There's the big bookmark.
Oh, there it is.
There it is.
Okay.
Sweet!
Okay, the other book that I had was Haunted Iowa.
Yeah.
I don't think this one's kind of as nice as the Road Guide to Haunted Locations.
Haunted Iowa's been out for a long time.
Yeah.
They probably revised it a few times, but
it's just not a very easy read. I mean, it's a lot better with the other one where they actually break it down by location.
It's built like it's a travel guide, right. Is what it's that one's like.
Yeah. But I don't know if you've ever heard of Alfie the Pig.
Nope.
No.
Okay. Well.
Sounds cool.
Okay.
Alfie the movie.
Let's hear it.
Let's see. Alfie the Pig. Story of Alfie the Pig is an old Iowa folk tale. The story appears in Tom Welch's Ghosts of Polk County. Okay. Well, let me get down to that part. basically it tells a story about, God, it almost sounds like, what's that, Charlotte's Web?
Okay,
it almost sounds like Charlotte's Web to a certain degree.
Very cool.
Except the pig never made it to the market. Or, I mean, sorry, not the market, the... the little piggy never made it to the fair.
Okay, but this is an Iowa State Fair legend.
Yeah, exactly. Basically, the pig gets butchered that this kid was taken care of, and this is what they say for the last part. Will, I guess Will is the person that was caring for the pig, wouldn't speak to his father for days, especially on the trip to the Iowa State Fair. The fair was crowded with people. Many had brought pigs along with them. On the main fairway, Will ran ahead of his father into the livestock barn, where thousands of farm animals were being judged in contests. He pushed his way through the crowd to see the pig in the main area. Over the pen was a sign that read, Alfie First Prize, Alfie being the name of his pig, and a blue ribbon. Excited, Will grabbed his father's hand. They ran to the official desk to find out what happened, because he kind of thought, yeah. Oh, my dad never really butchered the pig.
Right, right.
He just was playing a massively horrible joke on me.
Right.
I guess, but...
Because that's what dads do.
Yeah, play yeah, horrible jokes yeah. on kill their pigs. Yeah.
Would you kill my pig, Dad?
I don't know. Never mind. All right, let's not go there.
Okay, but anyway, his father was dumbfounded. He said, I'm sorry, Will. Alfie was butchered. I know what I saw. The officials at the desk knew nothing about Alfie, so Will and his father ran back to the livestock barn. Dun, dun, dun. Alfie was gone. But every year, the kids at the 4-H Pavilion watch out for Alfie.
Oh, gosh, yeah. Those 4-H kids. Those
so
are
so next time you go to Iowa Fair, you'll have to ask the 4... Yeah, what?
Look for Alfie.
Ask the 4-H kids about Alfie. Tell them you saw Alfie, freak him out.
Yeah, it's like
can I go out on a limb and say it's just kind of lame? This kid said he saw something that he may or may not have actually seen.
I don't know.
I guess when you break down these ghost stories, they just fall apart.
Yeah,
some of them do. Yeah, I'm looking forward to watching this Extreme Paranormal. It'll be on here shortly. Nice. So, gonna watch that that shizat. But I want to say thank you so much for listening. This has been episode 58 of the Can Man Show.
Wow!
Sweet.
Sweet.
Took me this long to get on here.
More than a year.
You've been on before. So
slightly, but yes.
Yeah. But thanks so much for listening. We really appreciate it. To close the show, I was going to play some more Jonathan Colton, but now I'm going to play Eva Anderson's State Fair song.
There you go. For some nice. Reason, I was thinking of that song when I was reading that. So
yeah, so going to play that, so I better let her know. Yeah. But thanks so much for listening. And 1, 2, 3, 4, 8. Peace out.
See ya.
Yeah. Straight up from the IA. We got DJ P. Barry and Eva Diva. Ellison Jacobs Productions. Here we go. Made clean all her messes, living high life NYC in a cocktail dresses, and her dad confesses he'd do anything for her, fly anywhere, private jet, cause he adore her. I take you on a vacation, daddy, you're the best. Bahamas, she asked, nah, baby, the Midwest, trading palm trees for cornfields, girl, see you there. Little sugar, we hitting up the Iowa State Fair. And take a look at her, she's shocked now, but soon she'd be mooing like a cow, singing, take me to the fair, dad, bring me along, I want to kick it with a car to get my Iowa on. Take me to the fair, dad, bring me along, and Chuck Culver's a baller, get your Iowa on. Pull up to the hotel, baby, flip a coin, she'd be chilling at a Holiday Inn in Des Moines, and her daddy can't wait to take her through the gate.
Hurry up, Tanya, cause you're gonna be late.
Yeah, they buy the ticket, and now they gon' kick it. There's so much to do, little Tanya, I'll let you pick it. She sees a Ferris wheel, and it's bigger than Texas. But a city girl, all she ever ride was a Lexus. I'll give it a shot, I'll think on it maybe. The carny is cute, got one tooth like a baby. She fall in love with it, that Tanya girl. And she be spinning round and round on the tilt-a-whirl, singing, take me to the fair, dad, bring me along. I wanna kick it with the carny that I know I'm on. Take me to the fair, dad, bring me along. And Chuck Culver's a baller, get your Iowa on. A 1, 2, 3, 4, 8. Hit up the farm animals, little Tanya, get the scoop on it. But watch your head, cause girl, the chicken gonna poop on it. And when I say poop on, I don't mean mustard. But the prize when he custard tastes so good, it left her flustered. Dang, those Iowans know how to flee. cheese. They be hustling up my Facebooks with their recipes. Barbecue, pulled pork, whatever you pick. And every kind of food you want, fried on a stick. The cows be saying,
moo.
The ducks be saying,
quack.
Show me another udder, baby, I gon' bring it back. She see a big daddy bull and Tiny starts to stutter. Hold up, dad, I think that cow was made of butter. And she shudder to wonder, to even think. Happy tells the Lord you had to kill to make that thing. But it's so cool, in fact, it's amazing. So everybody sing. Take me to the fair, dad, bring me along. I wanna kick it with a car and get my Iowa on. Take me to the fair, dad, bring me along. And check covers the ball and get your Iowa on. She's got crazy entertainment all up in the main stages. Built with a Riley talent show for all ages. And time you see kids and they grandma, they shorty. And they all chillaxing whether they 2 or 40. Iowa, they keep it country, but they gangster too. They got pimped out tractors and the ribbons are blue. And they Trump NYC, nothing to debate about it. Tanya love Iowa, there's nothing she can hate about it. Take me to the fair, daddy, bring me along. I wanna kick it with a car and get my Iowa on.
Thank you again for listening to The Can Man Show. Please check out our website at www.thecanmanshow.com.
Can you do that again? Can Man! Can Man Show!
I can try. Let's see.
I love The Can Man Show. I love The Can Man. Don't you know? Download it on iTunes. That'd be sweet. Need some traffic. I can't.
Wouldn't that be neat?
Wouldn't that be neat?
There we go.
Cock! Ha ha ha!